This morning's reading is from Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 to 22. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal regions around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing all of them. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Kids are invited to Children's Church with Miss Lori. Big kids are invited to Big Kids Church. We won't even make you leave the room for it. No, we're all having church together. But let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Mighty God, I thank you for being here among us today. Thank you for the people that you've drawn in to this place, the lives that have been touched, transformed by your Holy Spirit, and by the faithful good living of your people. And now as we come to your word together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, well, we begin today with our series called Bless, and apparently I have these slides on a timer, so hopefully that's not all of them, or it's just the ones that look like this that are just going to automatically shuffle through. I'm going to have to keep up if so. Some of you are like, oh, that's not all that bad. He needs to speed up anyway. All right, I was thinking of you, Don. That was good. I knew you'd laugh the loudest at that. Bless is the series that begins today. I didn't come up with Bless. It's an initiative of the Make and Deepen Disciples department of the Evangelical Covenant Church. So there's churches all over the place doing Bless right now and whenever they want to. I thought right after Easter was a good time, and right before summer was also a good time. It is about intentional evangelism. And you may hear the word evangelism and cringe. You may hear the word evangelism and get really excited. There's less and less of those people anymore, but a lot of people are like, oh gosh, what are you talking about, intentional evangelism? Because it's gotten a bad name, and in some cases rightly so. Televangelists have taken millions of dollars and bought jets. evangelism has, in many cases, been sort of a process by which people try to bully people into thinking the way that they do. And, you know, that's not very effective evangelism, and it's not really evangelism, because the word evangelism means good news. It means a word of good news. So when I say intentional evangelism, I'm talking about our capacity and ability and intentionality of living and proclaiming the good news. Because it would be kind of selfish of us to just keep it to ourselves, right? The good news of Jesus, if we really believe it's good news, it's worth sharing. It's worth taking the time to get to know people and taking time to proclaim it in the world. That timing thing is killing me right now, but that's okay. The acronym, which if you saw my little Facebook video, you got to hear a little melody to go with this, but B means begin with prayer, which is what we're going to talk about today. L means listen with care. E means eat together. S means serve with love. And the other S means share your story. So today we're going to focus on beginning with prayer. And, you know, ultimately it's called Bless because the point of the whole thing is to bless the people around us, right? And since we are a church who says that we are about loving God, being the church, and... Oh, man, that's good. That was like at least 10 voices, which if you have 25% buy-in to your church's vision, you're good. No, let's say it all together. Bless the world. Oh, one more time. One, two, three. Good job. All right. So, and we know that blessing the world sounds really big, but blessing the world starts in the closest relationships that we have and closest to us. Our world starts sort of where we are and goes outward from there, right? So we don't feel the pressure to like bless every square inch of this planet with just the people in this room, because that's gonna spread us pretty thin. I mean, that gives us several hundred thousand square miles each to cover. So I feel bad for those of you who get the most populated places and have to figure out how to bless that entire region. But I want to start with motivation, because motivation for evangelism is often where it goes wrong, am I right? If we're doing it for the wrong reasons, if we're trying to share the gospel for the wrong reasons, we are probably going to do damage. So the question is, what is my motivation? I don't have the study itself, but researcher did a doctoral dissertation on with a really interesting 2-year study on people, two different teams that were created. One were called converters, and one were called blessers. Okay, so this was a Christian doctoral program, and they were trying to see the differences between people who identified themselves as converters and people who identified themselves as blessers. So there were two teams, and they both went to Thailand for missionary work, okay? The first team, the converters, went with the sole intention of converting people or evangelizing everyone around them, okay? That was the first team's objective. The second team, the blessers, went with the intention of blessing people. They would just say, so if they're encountering a person that they didn't know, they would say, I'm just here to bless whoever comes my way, or I just want to be a blessing to the people in my community. So for 2 years, both of these teams were followed, and their conversations and the results of their conversations were kept track of. They discovered that the blessers had a greater social impact than the converters. Their intention and what they did resulted in tremendous amounts of social, this is a quote from the study, social betterment and social good. Okay, that's probably not surprising. If you're going to bless people, you're going to do some social betterment and social good. But secondly, the team of blessers. Now, the converters and the blessers were both Christian groups, right? But they just had different tasks and different assignments. The second group, the blessers group, had almost 50 times as many conversions as the converter group. The blessers helped 50 times more people find their way back to God. So, when we talk about intentional evangelism, I don't want you to think that that's the same thing as going out and being a converter, because it has been sociologically proven, at least in Thailand, that that doesn't work. And not only that, we'll get into more. Because I think what our motivations are twofold motivation. If we have this twofold motivation for evangelism, I think we're going to do pretty well. If we're striving to be faithful, and if we're striving to love. And if we're motivated by our faithfulness, and if we're motivated by the love that has been given to us. Those are good starting points for sharing our faith, right? These are good starting points for blessing the world. These are starting points for evangelism. Faithfulness listens to Christ's commission. Jesus rose from the dead. That's sort of the central narrative and story of our Christian faith, is that Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead and came back, he said some things. And the things that he said after he rose from the dead, I like to think are really important, because if somebody fights off death in order to come back and say something, I want to listen to what he had to say, right? And he said, he didn't start there. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that's important. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Because all authority has been given to Jesus, even authority over death, which, I mean, for us, we think, yeah, death and taxes, that happens to everybody. And death did happen to Jesus, but it wasn't insurmountable. For most of us, we think of death as a fairly insurmountable obstacle. Jesus was like, death, nah. I'm cool with it. I'm done with it. It's over. Death is over. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. That is sort of what we think of when we think of evangelism, right? Making disciples. So disciples, a disciple just means follower. Make followers of Jesus in every nation, right? Find people who aren't following Jesus and help them see the joy that comes in loving and following Jesus, right? That is what evangelism is all about. So if we are faithful to the task that the risen Christ has set before us, that's a good motivation for evangelism. It's not like, oh, I feel so guilty, right? If we're doing it completely out of guilt, right? Oh, I'm a Christian. Jesus saved me, and I really should get out there and try to help some people. Like, if I don't, God's gonna be mad at me, because, you know, he did all this stuff for me, and then I'm not doing anything for him. And, you know, this is a really bad, this is not an even relationship. If we're worried about making it even, we got to get out of that mindset right now, because we're never going to do as much for God as he did for us, right? Can we just start with that? I mean, that's like trying to make it even with your mom. She always can say, I gave you life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it, right? That, okay.
Can you hear that?
No. I heard it on TV, I think. Yeah. Faithfulness listens to Christ's commission. We're being faithful to the call that Christ has placed on us, not because we feel guilty, but because, oh man, the Christ who I love and serve has asked me to be a part of his team and asked me to do something. He's given me a job and an assignment. That's exciting. I don't want to just be like a useless slug down here. Right? Christ has rescued me. Maybe I can do something back. Maybe I can do something in return. Maybe I can do something not to earn his love or salvation or anything like that, but just out of the overflow of my heart, being faithful. And love desires that no one miss out on the love supreme. I stole that from John Coltrane. But love, if we have been rescued by the love of Jesus, if that has really transformed my life and my heart, then I don't want anybody to miss out on it, right? It's not that I want them to feel bad, right? It's not like, I don't know, I feel like evangelism when I was a kid, it was presented to me like, first you got to make people feel bad. You got to make sure that they know that they're sinners in the hands of an angry God. I'm like, eventually, yes, we all get there. Because we all, I think eventually we all recognize that we are sinners. But it was like, I'm trying to convince this person that he's bad and he doesn't think he's bad. And like, this feels like a really bad starting point for trying to share the good news of Jesus' love with them. Again, it's important to recognize that we're sinners and that I'm not God. That is hugely important. But in a conversation, I mean, what are we really trying to do? We're trying to communicate the love of Christ, the reckless forgiveness of Christ, of the creator of the universe, right? That's what we're trying to get to. And I don't want people to miss out on that. Penn Jillette, you know Penn and Teller, the magicians, comedians. Teller's a comedian without ever speaking. I don't think anybody's ever heard his voice, but Penn is a very famous atheist, but he also went on this famous, he made just like a little homemade video and posted it online about Christians who try to convert him and how much he respects that. Because if you really believe that I need Christ's love, it would be pretty, I mean, how much would you have to hate me to not tell me about that? That those are his words, and you're like, ooh, yee, Mr. Atheist, thanks for making us feel bad here. But I don't want you to feel bad. I just want to kindle that fire of love and understand that, man, if I believe that there's something unique about the love that Christ has for me and has offered me and has given me, I do want to share that with the people around me. We just need to get past the like, no, that means I have to be a jerk to everybody around me. No. Being an evangelist doesn't have to be that. And it begins with prayer. It begins with prayer, and that's the B in bless, right? For us, that means that we're praying for the people around us. We're praying for opportunities to demonstrate and proclaim God's love. It means that we are praying for individuals, specific individuals, right? Family members, coworkers, friends, who we know are having a hard time and could really use some encouragement, could use some love, could use some hope, could use some peace, could use some joy. It begins with prayer, because prayer puts a person, it puts a situation, it puts things in our heart and in our mind and allows us to sit with them. Right? Because sometimes it's like, if I get really over anxious and just want to convert everybody, and I'm not very thoughtful about that person, and I see them as like a somebody I'm marketing or selling something to. Prayer transforms anybody that we're talking about, thinking about, from it humanizes them, right? They're not just somebody that we're trying to sell the gospel to for free, right? We're not going to charge money, hopefully. If you're charging money to share the gospel with people, just come talk to me and I'll... She said it. I don't think I'll smack anybody, but verbal smackdowns may be in order. But in the passage that Marlene read for us, one of those days, Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. I think, whoa. I mean, for one thing, you're in the evening going up a mountain. Now, the mountains in the Middle East are not it's not the Rocky Mountains here. We're not talking about him scaling, 20,000 feet. But he has gone up on a mountainside, a hillside, to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. You think, whoa, what's that about? That seems exceptional, even for Jesus, to spend the entire night in prayer. We know that on the night he was betrayed, when he's in the garden, right? We know that it's very late, and he's up praying, and he's yelling at his disciples, why can't you stay awake for like 1 hour and keep watch? Right? It's obviously late because they can't keep their eyes open, but Jesus can. What's the significance of this moment that Jesus is spending the entire night in prayer? Well, we just know that when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated as apostles. So, this moment, Jesus has decided who will be the closest to Jesus, who will be sent out, and who will carry the mission forward, right? He's called many disciples at this point, right? And in the other Gospels, we hear him saying, come follow me, come follow me. And they drop their nets and they follow him. They leave the tax collector booth, they follow him. But as it turns out, he didn't just do that for 12 people. He has a lot more people, more disciples who are following him. A large group. Some of the Gospels say that there was at least a group of 70 disciples. You hear numbers of even more than that after Jesus is resurrected. We don't know how many disciples he had. But he took all of these followers who had already given up things to sacrifice and to follow him. They're already following him. They're already disciples. And he pulls 12 out to be his apostles, to be the ones that he will send out into the world on his behalf with his name marking him. Right now, ultimately, all disciples are going to be sent out. But he's choosing these 12. And his mission will largely depend on these 12 people. Their faithfulness, their ministry are the one, that is who will carry the mission beyond. And beyond that, they're the ones who get to spend the most time with Jesus. Those 12 get to spend more time with Jesus than some of those other disciples. So this is a big decision, right? And most of us, if we're thinking about which 12 am I going to pick, you're thinking of picking teams on the playground when you're a kid because that's how you learn to do it. You pick the biggest and the fastest and the smartest and the brightest and the most skilled at whatever you're looking for, and you pick them, right? That's how we've been conditioned to pick. Like, oh, if I want to pick somebody to be on my team, look at that, right? If I'm trying to pick who's going to be the head of this leadership team here at church, oh, I'm going to find the person who's the CEO and manages a multinational company, and they'll be really good at leading the church, right? They have the most skills. Well, Jesus looks out, and maybe he had those people who were successful business people who were among his disciples, but he didn't pick any of them to be his 12 apostles, right? He chose a tax collector, he chose fishermen, he chose a zealot, like a militant guy who wanted to overthrow Rome on behalf of the Jewish people. Like, he chose some crazy people to be his apostles. Jesus did that. But he didn't do it thoughtlessly. He did it very intentionally, and he did it after a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. That call, in fact, demanded an all-night session of prayer. So as we, disciples of Christ, during this season of bless, think about more intentionally orienting our lives around opportunities to share Christ with people, to share Christ's love with people. We begin with prayer. I don't want to like send you out and say, go, tell 10 people about Jesus this week and report back to me. If you do that, that's fine. But I want you to begin with prayer, right? I want us to all be beginning with prayer. And that's not just the starting point, by the way. We don't just start with prayer and then we move on to something more important later. Right? Prayer is part of the ongoing process Because we always need to be praying for people. We always need to be praying for more opportunities. And we always need to be praying for those people who we see coming to know Jesus. We see making little steps closer to Jesus. So we begin with prayer. Our friends at Harbert Community Church, which is a covenant church down in Sawyer, Michigan, southwest Michigan, close to the Indiana border, off of 94, they have put together a morning and evening prayers as tools for their church and for anybody to use to pray throughout the bless process. And so they have two different versions of morning prayer. One's a little longer, one's a little shorter. I've had mercy on you and chosen the slightly shorter version. But this is a directed prayer, a guided prayer. We did the evening prayer. There's one that's intended for the morning, or two options for one intended for the morning, and then there's one that's intended as an evening prayer to help you reflect on your day, which we did last Wednesday night together around a table, which was a really powerful experience. But this morning, we're going to do a morning prayer together, and it'll last about 8 minutes. But all I'm asking as you begin is to just kind of quiet yourself, and if you haven't already, be thinking about the people that you may want to bless in the coming weeks, right? The people that, again, these are people that maybe just are having a hard time, seem far away from God, might be just spiritually disconnected or just disconnected, period, and need, would benefit from the love of Christ in their life. So we will do this. And then I will make sure that everybody has access to this. Well, those of you who have access to the internet will have access to this. I'll try to get some sort of physical media of it, but you can use this every morning and every evening throughout the next 5 weeks if it helps you stay focused on blessing others. But let's begin. Quiet our hearts with this morning prayer.
Prepare yourself, listening for ways God might enable you to be a blessing. As you look ahead to your day, prepare yourself, listening for ways God might enable you to be a blessing. In the moments that follow, you will have opportunity to think about people in your circle of influence. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, people at church, coworkers, caregivers, and classmates. First, think of those who are hurting, physically and emotionally. Pray for them, saying their names and listening for ways God might enable you to be a blessing. Now, think of those in your circle of influence who are either spiritually disconnected or away from Christ. Say their names, listening for how God might call you to be a blessing. If you struggle to think of people, ask God how you might become more aware of ways to expand your circle. Thank you. With regard to listening, think of one person in your circle of influence and concentrate your prayers for this one person. We honor others by wanting to understand them better. Picture this person in front of you. If you were to ask one question to open up deeper conversation, what would you ask? If nothing comes to mind, simply remember conversations you've had in the past with one another. With regard to eating, how might you be called to include and make space for others in your life this week? What opportunities already exist on your calendar? Pray for these moments ahead. With regard to serving, consider thoughtful ways of expressing care toward those around you. Perhaps a random act of kindness, or some other way you can respond to others with God's grace. It might be a kind word, offering a prayer, or doing something for someone in a spirit of love. With regard to story, how does your faith in God, your acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the presence of the Holy Spirit make a difference as you start your day? Perhaps you can remember something from worship or your reading of Scripture this week. Do you feel ready to share this good news with others? Why or why not? God, help me to receive today as a gift and to see how you've called me to bless others. May these words that follow reflect my desire to walk in your ways. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. All praise be given to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever will be, world without end. Amen.
You to take the next few minutes and write down some names. And I won't collect these till the very end of the service on your way out, so if you think of people as we're, you know, as we're concluding, singing the last song, that's fine. But in the moments right now, just take a little bit of time. I'll give it a little bit of silence here for everybody to get some names written down. And again, write them twice. Keep one copy and submit one. And the copy that we receive, we will pray for, but we'll eventually submit them to the Great Lakes Conference, where the Great Lakes Conference of the Covenant Church, their staff will pray for these people, and then eventually the names will be presented at the annual meeting of the entire National Evangelical Covenant Church, where they will pray for the people on your lists as well. So know that by writing these down, it's not because we're nosy and we want to know who you're praying for. You can keep it as anonymous as possible. You can use nicknames or whatever. That's not the interest. The interest is in praying for these people. So take a few minutes, and we'll wrap up in a moment. Wrap up a little bit. Begin with prayer. But don't stop praying, right? Begin with prayer, but continue to pray. Listen with care. Hear people out. We'll talk more about this next week, but people may really not want to talk about it. People may really not want to talk about faith. Give them permission to do that. Give them permission to shut you down. Give them permission to rant about the church to you and all of its hypocrisy. They may need to do that. Listen with care. To whatever they have to say, because you don't control what they say in a conversation. But you can still care for them, right? Eat together. Spend time with people. Serve with love. Serve together. Serve alongside somebody. Serve them directly. Or let them serve you. Whatever is going to help the relationship, and share your story. Ultimately, maybe, if you listen with care enough, you'll be invited to share your story, and you'll get to demonstrate and proclaim the good news and how it has shaped your life. So one more prayer as we conclude, and then we'll sing a song together. And then again, I'll stand in the back, and I'll receive those slips. Again, remember, keep one. You can keep the one that says, I am praying for, and then you can give us the one that says, my church is praying for. It really doesn't matter which one you give and which one you keep, as long as the names are the same. But let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Gracious God, I thank you for the work that you're doing already in our hearts and in the lives of the people that we love. Lord, we know that it's your mission to bless all people, and it is your commission with us to baptize and to make disciples of all nations. And if we keep the good news to ourselves, we cannot make disciples. If we keep what you've done in our lives to ourselves, we cannot faithfully embody the call that you've placed on our lives. So Lord, give us strength, give us boldness, give us effectiveness, soften our hearts to those people around us. May we never dismiss anybody as hopeless, for you will never dismiss anybody as hopeless. And may we continue to live faithfully and bless the world. It's in the strong name of the risen Lord Jesus that all God's people say, amen. Let's stand together, sing our final song.